morning and welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for your understanding and to do your will through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are, in the world but not of it, and things are going on all around us. We find current events interesting. Yes, we do. And so does the rest of the world. Our human interaction and curiosity gives us an opportunity to relate to the world biblically and for the world to relate to the Bible. All the while, the serious events going on around us cause us to think about the meaning of life and probably even to have thoughts about preparedness also. In just over a month from today, we're going to have an eclipse. A month. In just over a week from today, we are going to have an eclipse of the sun across America on August 21st, 2017. I think it is pretty interesting that the very same minute the eclipse starts in America is the same minute the sun goes down in Jerusalem. So, the sun goes dark in America and Jerusalem at the same time. Ha! Interesting. Oh, I don't know what it means, but it's just interesting. So, does this eclipse mean that there is a specific event happening? Maybe, but I don't think so. It just shows that there are seasons of events that are soon to occur. That's what I think. I've heard that there are Jewish signs and prophecies about this current Hebrew year, year 5777. And there's also signs and prophecies about the year 5778, which begins on our calendar in September 23rd, 2017. I do not know what that means. I don't understand it. But I can tell that events are occurring. What they are, I'm really not sure. But I recognize that we are in the midst of signs, and by signs, I mean indicators. Indicators that there is an event coming up or something happening. It's just the season. The eclipse of the sun on August 21st is going to go all across the United States of America, and we will have a second eclipse about 7 years later on April 8th, 2024. It's not 7 years, it's about 6.6 years. But anyway, it's a little easier to say seven. These eclipses across America, they go diagonally. This one will go diagonally, and the next one will go diagonally in the other direction. Together, these two eclipses form kind of an X. X. I wonder what that means. It's kind of interesting. But it's just something to ponder. There have been several full eclipses across the entire part of the United States of America. The last time we had one was that went fully across the United States was on June 8th, 1918. At that time, there was a pandemic that was occurring, and it was called the Spanish Flu Pandemic of 1918. In the United States, it killed 675,000 people. That's a lot. And worldwide, it killed over 50 million people. That was an interesting thing to occur with the eclipse. And are they connected or not? I don't know, but it's interesting. The eclipses are interesting. And about the pandemic, my dad lived through this pandemic here in California, and I remember years ago he was telling me about it, there were two impressions that I had. One was that healthy people died at least as fast as those who were unhealthy. And the other impression was that at the worst of that pandemic, people were dying as fast so fast that the bodies of the dead were put curbside next to the street. The funeral parlors were all too full, so that's what they had to do with the dead bodies. A wagon came around and collected the dead bodies. And then I got the impression that there was a mass grave that those bodies went into. And I did say a wagon, which means a horse-drawn wagon and not a truck, because that's how technology was at that time, in 1918. Horses were still widely used, and it's just one of those interesting things. Times change, technology changes. In a sense, people do not. It's just very interesting. It makes you kind of wonder what will be changing next. Another thing going on at that time was World War I, and I can't help but think of World War I and World War II and Matthew chapter 24. It was there where it talks about wars and rumors of war. Those are included as a sign of Jesus' coming and the world at the end of the age. Well, back to the eclipse and those sort of events. There's a question about what circumstances will be in America. Will there be consequences? Some people would call it judgment. Different people have different names for the same thing. But something could happen, and it does make me think of the righteousness of all people, or American people. And I think of Alex de Tocqueville. In 1835, he came to America to find an answer to the question, which was, how was it possible for America to reach such a high level of greatness on the world stage, especially in such a short amount of time that America was a nation? And he wrote a book about that. He wrote a book about America as he saw it in the 1830s. And the short answer to this is that America's strength did not come from America's agriculture or industry, and neither did it come from the political arena. No, it came from America's spiritual core, and that is God, the pulpit, and the family. Well, that's my short description of the book. I've heard the book reduced in other terms, and the statement I've heard was people say it describes that America was great because America is good. And I can see that, but I like my description better. No surprise here, huh? We usually like things that we like better than somebody else's if we like them. Well, hope that wasn't confusing. But let me mention two other points of interest about the eclipses in history. I think of Nineveh because before Jonah arrived in Nineveh, there was an eclipse. My recollection is that it was 30 days before he arrived in Nineveh. And this made a big impression on the people of Nineveh. That, and of course you remember Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. People say that it made Jonah's skin change. So he had a visual effect on people as well. At any rate, the city of Nineveh was ready to turn to God, the God of the Bible. And even though that did happen, there were events happening in the next several years. There was a plague. there were military losses, there was a major earthquake, and there was several domestic revolts in Nineveh. So there's some who would wonder if that's something coming to America. Well, it does make you wonder, what will it take to have America return to the Bible and turn from its present-day unrighteousness and turn to God? Well, I don't know the answer to that. Is the eclipse, is that a matter of something that will turn America? Who knows? I don't know. But it's pretty interesting. I think there's a pastor that I was listening to, an Australian pastor named Steve Cocliani, and he has some very interesting and reasonable points, which were about the 3 hours of darkness. Anyway, that's the thing that really struck me, the 3 hours of darkness when Jesus was crucified and died. He said, what could have caused that? And you see, the maximum time that an eclipse can bring darkness to the earth, an eclipse of the sun and the moon, is 7.5 minutes. And he speculates, what if there was a much larger celestial body, like Planet X? You could call it Nibiru, you could call it Nemesis. Those are little questions as to what exactly it is, but the point was it could have been Planet X, and that planetary pull, which passing close enough between the sun and the moon, could have caused that great earthquake which happened at Christ's crucifixion. All this is speculation, yes, but to me it's a reasonable speculation. And to remember Pastor Steve Cocliani, the miracle is not in the event, the miracle is in the timing of it. Well, it's very interesting to me to examine the why behind events as well as the how behind certain events. The greatness of it can only point to God. So this is a part of our worldview. Are the events God caused, or are the events caused by random events? Is there evolution? Well, we get to figure out where we stand on that after we look at it closely. So, to continue on, that pastor continues by asking, could Joshua's long day have been caused by Planet X? Yeah, it could have. And for Joshua and Israel, it was an extra long day. And on the other side of the earth, in China, the chroniclers recorded that day as an extra short day. That was in about 1400 BC. These things have some real basis in the recorded history. So years later, China recorded a guest star. That's what they call it, a guest star, in 1054 BC. And this was the same year that British astronomers recorded that there was a star with an extra long, long tail. Just interesting. You see, there's things going on, but if we don't have that overview in mind, we don't even think of these things. So, this pastor speculates that the passage of this so-called Planet X, or the bodies around it, also could have caused Noah's flood. Well, that's very interesting. And the part that is also interesting is that during Noah's flood, it rained for 150 days. 150 days is as long as it would take for that Planet X to go around the sun and to make its trip back into the outer space, out of the solar system in its long trip. So, it's just interesting. Another 150-day place where it's mentioned is in Revelation. It's one of those trumpet judgments. You know what? It's just a very interesting thing that Planet X could pass Earth and take 150 days. That could happen again. There is biblical reasoning to support it, and there is scientific reasoning to support such things. Our first understanding comes from what we are taught, what we understand. Does our understanding come from worldly science or from a Christian point of view? That is a big question, because it governs the rest of our thinking, how we put things into perspective. The big question is also, did God make man, or did mankind evolve? Evolve from maybe some kind of excited bubbling mud which turned into animals and turned into humans. And that's one point of thought. Another point of thought is that aliens came along and they developed man. But tell me, where did those aliens come from? Well, anyway, I like the biblical point of view. It also is the most sensible view to a mind that pursues those questions. So this is a very interesting part, because Planet X could be a real thing that interacts with the Earth. Probably is. And it's reasonable to look at how the Bible records these certain events, because they could be all caused by this Planet X. But your worldview makes a difference in how you look at the answers. Planet X these days is said to have an orbit which takes thousands of years, like 3,500 years. I've heard 150,000 years. But if you look at the biblical view, it's in hundreds of years, not thousands of years. So it's a worthwhile thing to look at a biblical perspective and have that fit into an understanding. My view used to be secular. I used to see that. And then I read the Bible. And yes, I was a little bit older. I was in my mid-40s when it happened. But I changed my view because I learned there was a better answer. There was something that fulfilled more answers to the questions. So you'll have to search this out for yourself. Or you'll have to have that deep God religious experience. It's a God experience. That's what it really is. So if you have that, you'll be able to understand that there really is a God, the God of the Bible. So you search it out, and you'll find that God is amazing and his timing is perfect. Now, there's some questions that you will just not be able to answer. Those are the questions that you have to accept an answer by faith. And by logic and reasoning, most of the questions have answers that are very easily answered. But there's a few that aren't, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How can there be three people in one God? Well, it kind of makes sense, but we don't have the whole answer. No, but you can ask for answers. The God of the Bible does answer prayers. And he's the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all this is through Jesus of Nazareth. Have a look at it. You can see the truth of it. Well, back to the upcoming eclipse on August 21st, 2017. I hope you enjoy the experience of it. And remember to use every caution and do not look directly at it, even with a eye protection. I had a friend who looked at an eclipse once, and their college professor told them, "It's okay, you can look at the sun, just look through this lens." And they got eye damage permanently because the professor was wrong. So I will not be looking at the eclipse directly, but I will enjoy the experience of having an eclipse. So So many of these things can be reasoned out, but often enough we just get tired of looking at the same subject, whatever it is. But you get a lot of rewards and satisfaction by finding out that there is a God, that there is Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit, and you can have a relationship, a personal relationship with the God of the universe. So look into these things. Don't get tired of looking like like you would if it was a scientific subject, perhaps. Some things are just hard to grasp, but God gives us little boosts along the way as we seek Him out, and then we get motivated to look further and excited at the possibilities. So examine this subject. It's a good one. It's very rewarding. So for whatever happens, just keep looking. I think it's important to be a part of a community, and I say a Christian community, but maybe it's people in your neighborhood. This is an important part of just living. Sure, someday communities may be an important part to our comfort in life, because the more we interact, the more we end up depending on each other, and that can be a good thing. We can have better results as a community than we can working on certain projects all by our little old selves. So have a look at how you would form a community or who would be in a community if that was what you were going to do. So just remember to keep biblical truths in mind. Yes, and truth. Search it out. There's so many people today who are convinced that they are correct and their way is the only way. Yeah, it makes me think of Pilate, who in John 18, he was questioning Jesus Christ and he asked, "What is truth?" Apparently, he walked away before Jesus could bless him with an answer, but it's still a question that stays with us. What is truth? Truth reflects reality as it actually is. So in life, we know that people will talk and talk about lots of things. And even if it's the subject of truth, just lots of words can come out of people, lots of concepts. And then we get so tired of listening, we just don't want to hear anymore. That happens to all of us at different times. And I know there's a man who I like a lot as I listen to him. It's Steve Quayle. But he talks a whole lot, and sometimes I just can't listen anymore. He talks too much. He has good insights and good information, but it's just talk, too much talking. And it takes me a long time to look through what he has to say. One of those things that's kind of peculiar is about giants. And it took me a long time just to hear him through and listen to the arguments or supports of why there are giants in the world and why there have been. And I know there's two scriptures that speaks to this. One is in Genesis 6:4, that there were giants in the earth in those days and thereafter also. So what does after that also mean? It can mean today, and there are evidences of giants today. But it's not like we're told and instructed about it. It's like we catch a story here and there, and we get to discern if it's true or not. But with the mounting evidence and similarity among the stories, I have to say there is truth to the stories. Yep. And so what is coming? What is coming? It's a good question, but I know we are told part of it is in these end days, things will happen and change. Things as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's one. And yet 2 Timothy 3 talks about men will be lovers of their own selves, etc., unholy, etc. without natural affection, etc., ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth, etc., and not enduring sound doctrine. Yeah, it's going to be quite something. So, are these the last days? Are these the days of Noah? Will there be giants on the land again? It's a good question. I don't dismiss it because there's things that have shown themselves that appeared impossible that, in further examination, show themselves to be surprises and true. So, if you don't look, you won't see. That's the other part of it. You won't see the evidence that has occurred over time. You won't see the situations and surprises. You won't see the personal testimonies and the many, many newspaper articles from the old times, like a century ago or more. So I know there's people who would ask, well, what about the bones? If there's giants, where are the bones? And there's testimonies about that too. Part of the testimonies is that the Smithsonian came along, claimed they needed it for the bones for science, and they took them away. That's a very common story. Well, I've never seen the bones of a giant, and I've never seen bones of other creatures either. Like, even though I've walked a lot outside, I've never seen mountain lion bones. I've never seen the bones of an eagle. So, I know these animals exist, even though I don't see their bones. It's just a question, and there are questions going on today that you can kind of ponder over. I know I look at the Pope, and he has said that there is a plan to save the alien creatures, extraterrestrials, for instance. But as I see it, they cannot be saved because God's plan of salvation is for mankind and his offspring, not for the fallen angels and the fallen angel offspring, which is apparently where the giants come from. It's kind of interesting how you connect the subjects together, and I know that CERN is one of those puzzlements. CERN, the Large Hadron Collider on the Swiss-French border. I remember its director saying that they want to have a portal which connects two different dimensions, this one with another dimension, and that various beings would be able to travel from one dimension to another. Wow, that's quite a thing. Well, there's a lot of spiritual interplay with all this. You can have an interest in it or not, but it could affect us here in our physical world on Earth. Just a question. Lots of thoughts, lots of questions. We have spiritual battles in this world, and they take place both in the spirit and in the physical world. Right here in front of us, there's battles going on. And I think the best answer we have is to pray, pray, pray. Pray and remember Ephesians 6:10 through 20. I guess I really like that scripture, Ephesians 6:10 through 20. Yep, I do. So, we know that there is a conspiracy going on. Certain information is withheld from us. And we learn this by accident or situations. Regular people, like us, we just don't get exposed to certain subjects. They just aren't talked about. The newspapers don't talk about them. The publications don't talk about them, not hardly. It's just by a coincidence that we hear a story that kind of sticks with us, and then years later we hear another story, and they go together, and it gets to be something we recognize as, hey, this just might be true. That's happened to me a few times. So, why would this happen? I think it's for control. I think it's because if we don't see and we don't know, in other words, we're ignorant, it's easier to catch us and steer us one way or another. If we don't know things, we won't be aware of them. But if we do know things, if we get the experience or the intelligence, then we recognize other possibilities and we're harder to trick, harder to make go one way or another. So human beings are more intelligent than animals, but it can happen to human beings just like it can happen to animals, where an animal doesn't know something or a human doesn't know something and gets tricked. Okay. So, like I said, there's information that is withheld from us and we can see it. There are secrets. There are things that just go unreported. There's lots of ways that things get hidden from us, the general public. So we get to search for the little indicators and see what kind of things have truth to them and what don't. And usually this shows up over time as we look and see things over time. So, what does the information being withheld mean? Yeah, I think it means that there's a conspiracy, and it goes back to the basic conspiracy of God and Satan. Satan has a plan, and he wants to ensnare humans. Us. And it's up to us to see what the truth is, God's truth. We can apply our understanding, the things that we have knowledge of, our experience, and our memory, to discern what it is that is in front of us. Is it true or is it untrue? So if you don't look, you certainly won't see. You won't see how to be saved from the trouble that is just ahead of us, or you, or somebody. So it's not a matter of losing your salvation. It is only about the trouble you get into in life. So like I've said many times, think, plan, and do. Get prepared in every way. Prepare your mind, prepare your physical situation. There's just too many examples of the public being fooled and misled. If you think of how we have been looking at understandings, and you might look at newspaper articles or books, education, all these things have an element of the whole truth not being told, just parts of it, or even the truth being withheld. That happens too. So think for a minute about how each of us is being directed one way or another. After all, we are being analyzed, and we are being characterized, and our thoughts are mimicked, and our responses are tabulated and predicted. This is done with some great big computer in the sky. You could call it the cloud. You could call it Google. There's the same theme going on among those different computerized systems. It has the potential to become a tool of, yes, a corporation, yes, someone who wants to study our buying habits so that it can sell more effectively to us, and it could become a tool of the Antichrist to identify and to neutralize every competitor, or should I say, every Christian. Yeah, it's just an idea. You'll see. We'll see. But the idea is, be aware of it and see what we can do about it. Know where this is going, and have a direction. Don't be led to some place you don't want to go. You know, like, don't take that mark that you're going to need to buy and sell. That's what the Bible predicts. So you'll have to find another way to live without taking the mark. You don't want to fit into their plan. You want to fit into God's plan. And if somehow you die along the way, well, there's two points of view. One is you go to heaven anyway. That's one point of view. The other is from the secular people. They say, it's okay if people die because didn't you know the earth already has too many people on it anyway? It's overpopulated and we need to eliminate a lot of the people. Well, there's different ways to look at it. Time will tell what will happen, but this is the time to think about it, to have a direction, and to do something. Do something now for your plans, because right now, if you are thinking that these difficulties are going to come along, food is available now. Materials are available now. You can freely buy and sell things. You can buy food and other supplies. It's a good time to buy things if that's what your concern is. All through history, there's been various shortages, certainly in wartime. So you have to think about what could happen also. There could be ration coupons. They've had those in these countries and other countries as well. World War II was a big one for ration things. So it could happen again. That's the point. There's certain times where things were in short supply just by its natural availability, because things were desired, and so there wasn't enough supply of them. These things can all happen again. And I've talked about a solar minimum in the past. It's been called a little ice age. It could hit us too. And if it does hit the earth, there would be a 15 or so year of food shortages because of the temperatures and because of the humidity. The crops would not produce, or they wouldn't produce healthy food. All these things are possibilities. You have to remember that there's a pattern here, and I think of Ezekiel 14 and 33 chapters, where it mentions famines. And why were there famines? It is due to a persistent unfaithfulness. So if you consider God's standards, and if you consider our standards today as a society, as a nation, do we live up to God's standards? I don't know about that one. So, if we don't live up to those standards, are we being unfaithful? Just maybe. And that just might mean we get the consequences. And I'm thinking in particular famine. Another thing that is talked about these days is that there might be a war on the horizon in less than a year, some people say. And, you know, all these things are speculation, but they are real possibilities. It's surprising how things happen according to someone else's plan. And if you look at things in the past, like the Gulf Wars, and you think about all of a sudden there were so many people on television talking about the possibility of war and what could be done, what should be done, people you've never heard of. And that's going on a little bit these days too. It was about that conflict with potentially with North Korea and potentially with Russia. All of a sudden there are people who come on the television. You hear them, they sound like they're authorities. They probably are. But you just have to wonder, how does it happen that these people all of a sudden show up on TV and have expert opinions? It's just interesting. And I know that, this was a year and a half ago, Pope Francis was saying that we are in the early stages of World War III. Well, that's interesting. I remember someone else was saying that, a financial person. It's possibly true. And what should we consider? If there is a World War III on the horizon, what does that mean if we're getting set up for that? And it's not full-blown yet, but it could be. It could turn into a full-blown war. That's been talked about for over a year, 2 years maybe, and you just hear a little talking about it here and there. So should we get prepared? Yeah, I think that'd be fine. But what do you get prepared with? The basics of life. That's what it is. So we don't have to fully understand what's going on. We don't have to fully understand any of it. Not the explanation. It's just that we can see these things, we can get ideas, and we can say, hey, it might be a good reason to get a preparedness plan together. Make it and act on it. So that's a part of what I do, is I talk about these things so that you can see them, understand them, and be motivated to do something. Yes, we don't know what'll happen, really. We just don't know, but we can see indicators, and that's what I see. I see indicators all over that are saying, look out, look out, buckle your seatbelt. Something could just happen suddenly. So, yep, that's what I'm telling you. We don't know when anything will happen, but we do see indicators that things could suddenly happen. So actually have a plan and take steps. Take those steps to do something. Have an action plan and complete that action plan. Yep. This is something which now with the economy in America, well, our economy continues to move forward with weakness. It is not a strong, vibrant economy. I know that there are positive indicators, but there's also terrific things that are looking like they could be problems, big problems. There's people who see parallels to the 2008 crash as happening right now. I think, oh yes, we could be in for some kind of a crash. There are financial people who say it could be many times bigger than the 2008 crash. You could hardly call it a crash, but it was an event. So there's people with good credentials. They are saying our economy will crash and that they just don't know when. But the fundamentals are there. Who are these people? These people are like Robert Kiyosaki, who was the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's the retired congressman, Ron Paul, and a high-level money man named James Rickards. Also Edward Griffin, he thinks so. Jim Rogers thinks so. Lynette Zhang talks about it. There's plenty of people who talk about these things. And these are educated people. They're well-spoken people. And I think it's worthwhile to listen to what they have to say. So I want to mention also that there are several people who are predicting that Israel will be in a war in the coming Hebrew year, and that it could be starting at September 21st of this year, 2017. There's more than a few people who are speaking about that. Michael Rood is someone who believes this, and he's a wonderfully intelligent Messianic Jew. That means he's a born-again Christian who's also a Jew. But he's a man I've met. I liked him a lot. And he is pretty definite that there is a good chance for a war involving Israel. I can't embrace that idea, but I respect people who have good thought processes. So let's look at that economy again, because the economy affects all of us, all of us. Too many people have identified the economic fundamentals, the market fundamentals, as being way out of balance. And therefore, they talk about a Great Depression coming. Not a recession, but a depression. And as much as this message has been spoken, well, often enough it's just dismissed, because there have been people saying that for a year, maybe even 2 years. And so they get dismissed because it's a message that just hasn't happened yet. I surely don't know when anything will happen, but I can see the signs that are pointing to the fundamentals of finance being unbalanced and out of place, and this points to something happening. How soon? Now, that is a question, but I say it's better to get ready for a problem a year too early than a day too late. So we have reasons to see economic problems coming along. Sure, from economics, from the study of finance, but also we can see this as we look at the moral state of our nation. The moral state of our nation is, it's not healthy, it's not godly, and it shows that there surely could be consequences, big consequences. They just haven't happened yet. So I know Jonathan Cahn talks about that too. You know that author. Well, there's things that a lot of people are seeing. I see them too. I've looked at history over the years. I've looked at economies over the years. I've looked at what the Bible says. And all these things show me that a great collapse is inevitable. It must come. But there's still the question of when will it come? And that's something we surely do not know. Anyway, I don't know anybody who knows. In addition to all this, there is some very oddly severe weather around us. There are earthquakes, there is snow in strange places, floods where there shouldn't be. It's out of characteristic, it's out of season. And so these things are a puzzle also. It's a puzzle. So it all points to me to be reminded we should get prepared. The trouble is, I don't know what to tell you how. I don't know how to tell you for what or for how long. All I know is I see signs and indicators. One of them I see is the Deutsche Bank, because they have been having troubles for well over a year. There's different reasons for it. Derivatives is one of those things that is often mentioned. The financial news reports that its troubles are only increasing, that the Deutsche Bank has holdings and interactions all over Europe and all over the world. And I pay attention to the Deutsche Bank or the German situation, because I remember some years ago, Pastor David Wilkerson, you know, he has had a good reputation as a man who has heard from God. And some years ago, he said that the Word of God told him the world would collapse, starting with Germany, and then quickly spread to Japan, and then quickly spread to United States. So when I see that things are looking pretty serious for Deutsche Bank, that there's a good argument for an imminent collapse of Deutsche Bank, it certainly makes me look and it makes me think, is this a trigger event? Is that what's going on? Well, it's just a lot of questions, and so I say, look out. Things could happen. I know that solar minimum is a concern to me, and I see scientific models that predict it will be coming soon. What is soon? Now that's another question. Is it years away? 2 years away? 10 years away? We don't know, but we can see that there's situations coming that indicate a solar minimum, and that means the Earth's temperature will be cooling as the sunspots decline. That kind of a decline could mean another mini ice age, and it could mean, it would mean, that our crops would not yield good results. It would mean not only would they have less heat, less sunlight, but they would have a cooler temperature and more moisture to deal with. And all that makes for a less productive crop yield. So these things, yeah, it's a concern. And then you look at, what about the coming of Antichrist? Is that something that'll happen? The Antichrist system? How can we stand for God if we have nothing to eat? What if we have no supplies, no savings, no anything to stand and last a little longer with? Well, it could be a problem, and there's other things that could be notable problems. If you look into our history, there's all sorts of things. Earthquakes, droughts, volcanoes. Not to mention that 15-year solar minimum situation. It could cut our food production in half. Any one of these things could make serious problems. And then you look at, what about if there's an economic collapse? What if the dollar collapses? What if no other country wants our dollars? What would we do to trade? What do we have that any other country wants? Would we need food? Would we need shoes? Would we need other things? Clothes? Yes, we would. But if the countries don't want our dollars, what would we trade? Don't forget, we have a national debt of $20 trillion. And then what do we do when we are paying for our welfare system, our health care, and other things that we need to have as a society? Well, we just can't keep it up and continue paying for all these things. Our debt is already $20 trillion. Remember, million, billion, trillion. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Yeah, it's a huge national debt. What do we do if our dollar fails? Nobody wants the dollar anymore. Oh, well, we better look now to try and fix our problems before they get any worse. I don't know how we are going to get them fixed, but if we don't look, it's for certain that we won't find any answers. We could be giving up some of our land, some of our resources, and selling the things that we have as a country for pennies on the dollar, because that's just how the international money system works. That's how it's always worked. The bankers always get their money, one way or the other. I think about Thomas Jefferson, and I'm going to paraphrase and shorten it, but he said that if we lose control of our money, we will wake up homeless in a nation which our forefathers settled and fought for. So, these days, we live in a nation which has had unrestrained spending of government dollars. Not just government dollars. Businesses have spent and spent. Individuals have spent and spent. We are in trouble. And now, this happening with our Federal Reserve being in control of our money supply and just printing, printing, printing dollars, it's made some kind of a deep economic problem inevitable. How can we survive as a free people in a free country? It's going to be real difficult. Not an easy proposition. No, it's not. And we don't want to become slaves. And that's what happened in ancient Egypt. Genesis 47:15. There was nothing to eat in the land of Egypt, and the people said, "Give us bread so we can live." They sold their livestock, they sold their land, and eventually they sold their bodies and became slaves in the land of Egypt. That's what happened. Genesis 47:15-21. And so we want to survive, and we want to become wise and diligent and agree on a path forward. That is what it will take to maintain our freedom. We have to agree to something. We have to think about it. Think, plan, and do. Oh, how can we stabilize our country? Well, maybe we can't. But either way, we have to be thinking about what might happen. Work on stabilizing our own country, our region, our city, and this is what we could call our own backyard. We have to work towards something and try to survive this. Part of that is to owe no man anything. And that means to have supplies on hand that are essential to life. To give thanks to God for all the blessings that we do have. That is essential too, recognizing God and the gifts He gives. Every single person will do this differently. You have to figure out what it is you're going to do, how long you want it to be for. It's an individual decision. We all have to ask, what is it I'm going to do and be comfortable with? It has to be affordable, but you still have to do something. So take steps. Think about preparedness. And only you can figure it out, but do. Think, plan, and do. Well, I've spoken about various concerns and various concepts, these ideas, on my short Preparedness Thoughts broadcasts, which are on KKXX, and I give these in a short time frame. If you want to hear some of the other ones, you can go to the www.christtoday.org, and you can type in the dates, or touch on the dates, January 20th, 2017, and January 28th, 2017, and hear those little pieces of information that I have strung together for the length of the show. It's all very good, so think, plan, and do. Oh, I have to mention, I like the January 7th one too. January 7th, 2017, I just happen to like that one. So think, plan, and do. Listen to the great guests. I have some really great guests on this show also. Remember to listen to them and think about what you need to get through whatever is coming up. It's kind of hard when we don't know what it is, but there's things that everybody needs, and that includes food and water. So all these things make a difference. Take steps. Take steps now before there's a need, and what you want is hard to find. And thank you for listening. May you go with God, and may God go with you.